104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake-Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grass or short, don't get your money's worth. Wages show, it happened at all right. You gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll. Oh, right before your eyes. People laugh from the skies. And he laughs until he cries. And he dies, and he dies. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. You gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a great day today. Today is Saturday, February 2nd, 2019. Almost said 2020. I was thinking about that the other day because next year it's going to be like on February 2nd, it'll be 2-2-20. Anyway, hey, I hope you're having a great week. I've had a great week here at the University of Guadalajara. We had a lot of fun doing different events. I want to talk a little bit about the brigada we had last week. We have brigades. It's called Social Service Brigades. And we take about 40 or 50 staff members and about the same number of students. We go to a certain location here in the Bay of Banderas area. And from about 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we set up tables, booths. We have all types of disciplinaries. We have lawyers. We have doctors. We have nurses. Architects, construction engineers, we have, let's see, legal people. If I didn't say lawyers, I'd say it again. We have physical fitness therapists. We have, people that talk about nutrition. It's a whole bunch of different disciplines that you can go to one of our brigades and find out all kinds of information. Say you need to talk about a loan. We have lawyers there. You can talk about kind of what kind of loan, if you're going to be doing real estate or something like that, or you have some kind of legal problem. What it is, it's a really, really great opportunity for the general public that doesn't normally have access to going seeing a notary or a lawyer or a doctor or, nurses or know how to eat better, things like that. And you can ask them questions and talk to them. And last week we had in the vicinity of Muskota, which was a little bit, I think it's the farthest one away we've done so far. But we're reaching out more and more from just the Bay of Banderas, the Puerto Vallarta, Nuevo Vallarta area. We're stretching out farther and farther. And it's great for those communities that don't have the opportunity to get in here to Puerto Vallarta, the Bay of Banderas. Now, we have these once a month. I'm not sure where the next one's going to be here this month of February, but I'll find out very shortly. And they'll probably be coming up in a couple of weeks. Hopefully, it'll be right around here in the Bay of Banderas area. But we had actually over 450 people come there from Muskota. I guess it was the most exciting thing happening all day long. And we had great, great crowd, and a lot of people were very, very appreciative. So anyway, my hat's off to all the students, all the faculty, all the staff that were involved in the brigade last week in Muskota. And as I mentioned, we're going to be having another one here pretty soon, so I'll let you know about that. Before I go any further, I want to congratulate. We had 33 graduates that had their graduation ceremonies this past week here at the main auditorium. And so now the university has put out 33 more architects. These students went to school for four and a half years to get their degrees in architecture. They're going to be doing great, great things. They're going to be helping with not just how to build a building or a home, but there's garden architecture, landscaping architecture, things like that. I know that talking to some of the students, there's so much more emphasis, especially here in Mexico, especially certain parts, how to design, build homes and buildings, especially skyscrapers, that are earthquake-proof. And if you didn't know it, if you haven't heard the news today, there was a major earthquake south of Mexico City last evening. No big damage, so thank God for that, but there was a lot of shaking of the buildings in Mexico City. And because people have learned a whole lot more how to build houses, the architects have studied it for years now, how to build buildings and houses and other types of structures, dams, water dams, things like that, much better. There's a lot less loss of property and a lot less deaths. So my hat's off to these great 33 new students that have graduated from the university with their degree in architecture. The SWAM program, that starts on Monday, February 4th. If you're not familiar with the SWAM program, please go to the university website and find out about it. Almost all the classes are full. I know I've had a lot of people calling me and contacting me about the Spanish classes. There's an awful lot of us gringos down here from Canada, the United States, Europe, other parts of the world like New Zealand and Australia. They wanted to learn how to speak Spanish, and we do have great teachers here. The SWAM program are free courses for anybody over 60 years of age, and it's been a tremendous program. It started about 4 years ago with about 30 students and has grown now to over 450 students. So we're really, really excited about that. So if you haven't enrolled yet, please come to the campus on Monday or Tuesday. Go to the rectory building, and there's a small office on the first floor. It's on the left-hand side, and I think you can still enroll. I have to put this note out. The Spanish classes, I've mentioned that. The English for Spanish speakers that want to learn English, and the French classes, I believe, are all full. So there are some other disciplines like danson, art, digital photography, swimming, physical fitness, gymnastics. And when I say gymnastics, I'm not talking about, the flying trapeze. We're talking about coordination, things they have like an imaginary walking horse to where you can kind of learn to try and keep your balance a little bit. And you may think, what's he talking about? Well, if you've ever walked the downtown streets of Puerto Vallarta, the Romantic Zone, Old Town, the sidewalks are not smooth. The streets are not smooth. They're not, there's a lot of steps. There's a lot of dangerous places. And if you're not very, very careful, you can fall down, break your leg, break your arm, crack your head open, no telling. So you got to be very, very careful. And unfortunately, as you get older, your balance isn't quite as great. Your eyesight might not be as great. So we're trying to kind of help people be more aware of what's around them, the streets condition, the sidewalk condition. And by learning things like, balance and being more aware, it's going to help you out. So anyway, but the SWAM program is a fabulous program. You can go to the office here on campus and find out about any of the classes that are still open. And if you're a late bloomer and didn't get signed up already, I think you can still come up here and talk to somebody, maybe squeeze in one of the classes. So anyway, they all start Monday. Good luck to everybody. Cinema Cook's getting ready to start back up on February 13th, and people say, what is that? Every Wednesday and Friday, we have movies here on campus in the air-conditioned main auditorium. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility, holds about 600 people. Last week, we showed the movie Roma, which is up for 10 different categories of the Academy Awards that will be coming up here in about a month. But there are actually 10 different categories that this film is up for. And we showed the film twice, once on Thursday and once on Friday, to almost sold out, even though it was free. Standing room only. It was an amazing opportunity for people to come and see this movie free. All of the movies that we have on the Cinema Cook program are free and open to the public and at 1 o'clock. I'm not sure what the Friday movies are going to be yet. The lineup hasn't been put out. Friday movies are like Roma, some of the different first-run movies. You'll have an opportunity to come up here, and then we have a lot of old classic movies. I was talking to Dr. Cortez Gradado Marco, the president and general rector of the university here, about a couple of movies that I had the great opportunity to see in either Los Angeles at the Los Angeles University Guadalajara Film Festival, and another film festival I had the pleasure to attend back in October. But there's some really, really great movies that I saw that I thought would be really, really interesting for the public to see. And we're going to try and be showing them. I do know for a fact that the Wednesday movies, they're usually music-orientated. We have concert-type films that are going to be played. And starting off on February 13th, the first group is going to be Coldplay. The next week, we're going to have a group. It's a concert film about a group called Soda Stereo. That's a new one on me. I've never heard about them, but I'm going to Google them and find out what Soda Stereo is all about. And then the week after that, we have The Kings of Leon. So those are some great, great movies. And go to the website. I'm going to give that out here in just a minute. So be sure to get your pencil and paper so you can write down all this information. Also, the Peter Gray Museum art gallery that we have here on campus. We have Guillermo Noriega. He is a really unique artist that walks up and down the beaches and collects all types of things that he finds, mainly wood, driftwood, but a lot of other little things. And then he makes art out of them. We had the grand opening about a week and a half ago at the Peter Gray Museum, and the display is still going to be going on till the 9th of February. So you have about another week to get out here and see his creative art. I think there's over 30 pieces, and it's really, really cool. So come on out to the Peter Gray Museum Art Gallery. It's open every day from around 9:30 till I think around 4 o'clock. So, again, everything I'm talking about is free and open to the public. I do have an important announcement to make. This coming Friday, February 8th, Dr. Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado, our president, rector of the university, will be giving his state of the campus address. That's what I call it. It's actually an informational form, but he's going to be giving out all the information about all the goals that he set a couple of years ago and how we have accomplished them or what we're doing. Also kind of where everything else on campus is going, such as the new library we're building, some of the new classrooms we're building, new classes we're going to start adding in the year or so. Some we've already had that we started a year or so ago, like the culinary school. That's become very, very successful, and my hat's off to Executive Chef Luis Del Sorto, who started building that from scratch a couple of years ago, and it's just turned into an unbelievable opportunity for students to come and get a four-year degree in culinary gastronomical science. And so anyway, that's what's been going on here at the university. We've got some great interviews today, some important events coming up. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about some of the other things that are going on around this part of the world that aren't university related, but I think are important and you need to know about them. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Thank you for tuning in today.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
The flower. flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM, University of Guadalajara Radio, here in beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. We have had some beautiful weather here in the Bay of Banderas. I'll tell you what, it's getting down to about 65, 63 in the evenings and about 75, 80 during the day. Last night was one of the most remarkable, most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen. And I'll tell you what, I'm almost 65 years old, and I've been seeing a lot of them. The last 4.5 years here in Puerto Vallarta, they're just almost every night is spectacular. But last night, if you didn't see it, oh, my gosh, you missed a – it was a 10 on the scale of 1 to 10. It was beautiful. Many, many colors. It was fascinating. I think it'll be the same tonight. So 5:45, 6 o'clock, find the beach and sit down for 45 minutes, relax, meditate a little bit, thank God for everything he's blessed you with, and enjoy that sunset. I've had a couple people call in. They want to know what the website is for the university. It is www.cuc.udg.mx. And you can go to that and find out all kinds of information about what's happening here at the university. Again, www.cuc.udg.mx. If you want to contact me about anything, you can do so at 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. Hey, I mentioned some events that are coming up. Everybody knows what's going to be happening on next Monday. It's going to be the Medical Matters, February 11th. At the Marriott Hotel from 9 to 3, it's everything medical. There's going to be over 200 booths, every kind of doctor, nurse, practitioner, insurance, blah, blah, blah. Anything medical you can come up with, it's going to be there. So be sure to schedule that in, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock at the Marriott by the Marina Medical Matters. Also coming up on the 23rd, we're going to be having the 7th Annual Puerto Vallarta Chili Cook-Off. I'll be having some sponsors on the show next week or the week after that, talking all about that. Also, we have the rodeo, the 8th Annual Charro Rodeo going on right now, the International Championship at the Arena Vallarta, which is actually in the city of Colorado. It's about 10 miles past the little town of Estapa, where the university is located. Basically, it's on the road behind Home Depot. Just turn right behind Home Depot and go about 15 minutes, and you'll run into it. All kinds of signs. So that's going on today and tomorrow. The closing will be tomorrow, so be sure to go out and see the 8th Annual El Charro Championship. There's some other events going on we're going to be talking about here in a little bit, a Bucerias Art Walk. I got an interview on that. I got a great interview today with a very important topic of real estate. We're having a huge real estate fair here in a couple weeks, and I got Mr. Carl Timothy on the radio about that here in a minute. And then we have another very, very special event coming up on Valentine's Day. We have an interview about that. So right now, go get your breakfast burrito, go get your nachos or whatever you're eating, your bowl of Captain Crunch, and pencil and paper, because you're going to be taking a lot of notes right now. So go do that. And be sure to listen to the music. I try and play music that kind of coincides with the interviews. I think some of them are pretty funny, and I think some of them are kind of serious. But I hope you enjoy the music I play, because I always ask my guests, what is your favorite song, or what song do you need to play that kind of goes with your topic? And sometimes I say, I have no idea. You come up with something, which I do. And so enjoy the music. We're going to take another break. We'll be back here in just a couple minutes with more of the Good Morning Wake-Up Show. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long.
We'll be right back. It's a long, long road.
Have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host Michael Nolan here on University of Guadalajara Radio. Thank you very much for listening in today. I have a very special guest today, Christiane Biggest. She is an artist that lives up in the Bucerias area. First of all, thank you very much for taking your time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Thank you, Michael.
We are here to talk about a very special event coming out in about a week or two, the Bucerias Street Festival, which is a really big deal. And if you don't mind, please talk a little bit about your history first. I know you're originally from Germany, but lived in Southern Cal for a long time. And then you moved to Mexico, I don't know, Bucerias or the Bay Area, quite a few years ago.
Well, about 24 years ago, I was working for Nestle. In the Southern California area. They asked for volunteers to transfer down to the Baja area to work in a maquiladora down there. And my printing is my background, and I volunteered. That lasted for about a year, and I decided I wanted to be an artist, and I have been doing mosaic artwork for the last 22 years.
What kind of artwork?
Mosaic.
Mosaic?
Yes.
The tiles.
Yes. So I break tiles and put them back together, and people pay me to do it.
Have you ever been to the Vatican?
No, but I'm dying to go.
You know, there's no paintings in the Vatican.
No, it's all mosaic.
Everything is mosaic. And people, I've been there 6 or 7 times. People just do not believe it. Anyway, it's the most incredible. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of shades of colors they have, but it's incredible.
I mean, it's just
unbelievable. Please tell us a little bit about the Bucerias Street Festival that's coming up, when it is, where it's going to be taking place, and all the details about this very special event.
Well, I believe the first year that we did it was back in 2009. The street that I'm located on, Lázaro Cárdenas, in the Golden Zone of Bucerias, originally was cobblestone. We had some infrastructure problems, and they came and dug it up and paved the whole street.
Thank you very much. I wish they'd pave all of Puerto Vallarta. I wish they'd have all kinds of problems with the streets. That and topes are my biggest gripe. Speed bumps of this whole place living here. I hate it.
Don't forget the potholes.
Potholes, yeah, well.
Well, and coincidentally, a friend sent me a photograph on the email of a chalk artist, and it just clicked. Our street is paved. Chalk artist, let's have a chalk festival here. So approximately in 2009, we had our first chalk festival. It incorporated also in the Taste of Bucerias and Artisan Day. The thing about a chalk art competition is it is a 3-day event. It takes these artists 3 days to finish their pieces. You'll often hear them called Modinari festivals. The term Modinari comes back from the 12th century, the 1200s, where the artists that were hired to paint cathedrals and inside churches when they were finished with work and out of work when the cathedral was completed, would follow the vendors that would go from town to town and would draw on walls and on the pavements, what pavements there were, with chalk. They always drew, back in those days, in the Dark Ages, they had to draw religious figures. So they would draw the Madonna over and over again, hence the name Maudenari. So often people will hear chalk festivals referred to as Maudenari festivals.
Well, they never started at that cathedral in Barcelona, because that thing's been going on for 600 years. Incredible basilica. But we do have a really, really great event going on here, and you mentioned it takes 3 days, and of course we pray for no rain for those 3 days. But this is right on the street.
Correct.
And they block off, what, 8 foot by 8 foot, 12 foot by 12 foot areas?
Well, we will be closing all of, not all of Lázaro Cárdenas, but Lázaro Cárdenas between Galeana and Benito Juárez will be closed off to street traffic.
Okay.
We have over 21 artists coming, which has almost doubled our largest event. Okay, so we're very thrilled about that. We have them coming from Denmark, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Durango, Guadalajara, many local artisans from Jalisco, even Mezcalis and Bucerías. For the first time, too, we have youngsters participating. We have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old that's participating. The largest area that they can do is 4 meters by 4 meters. That's a large, large piece for them to do, but they try to fill it up within the 3 days.
Now, this street we're talking about, if you're coming from Puerto Vallarta, you come up over the bridge, of course, and everything, and you come into, I would say, the very first entrance into Bucerías where the Chedraui is.
Chedraui.
Chedraui. That's French, isn't it?
Yes.
You turn left and come down towards the La Camarones.
De Camarón.
The De Camarón
Hotel
and that, and then you turn to the right, and it's that long, real, real nice paved street. Don't go on the other side of the little bridge into what they call Bucerías proper, or
Central,
where the main square is, because there's no parking over there. It's terrible, and that's not where you want to be anyway.
It's the first light after Mega.
Okay.
That you want to turn left.
Oh, you got to throw in that Grand Comer or whatever the name of that place is, too. So, anyway, if you're coming from the Sayulita to Punta de Mita, San Pancho area, you probably know the area pretty well. So what are the dates of this great event?
The chalk artists will be on the street early morning on Tuesday, February 5th. They will be there through all the daylight hours of February 5th, 6th, and 7th. The February 5th will be Bucerías Business Day, and it's a good old-fashioned, what we call up in the States, a City of Commerce Day. We're going to have any business that wants to participate can participate. They will, anywhere from cutting toenails to cutting dog nails to cutting hair. You can set up a booth and show people your services. The second day, which will be the 6th, is the Taste of Bucerías. This year, instead of going to the big fancy restaurants and so forth, we're featuring more home cooking. We want a real national dishes.
More indigenous type
stuff. Exactly. So we've got tamales, we've got chilies, we've got Mexican homemade ice cream and sweetbreads. Everything that you could imagine that is Mexican food. One thing that I'm very proud about is that nothing is over 60 pesos. None of the tastes are over 60 pesos, so it's extremely affordable. Every time you purchase a taste, half goes to the vendor, half goes to our charities. Can I mention our charities?
Oh, please, yeah, but by all means, okay, do that, because that's the main reason we're having this huge Bucerías chalk art walk and street festival is for the charities.
Our charities are Paws and Claws SNP program, okay, and they're the ones that in Bucerías hold all the free spay and neuter clinics. They average about 3 to 4 clinics a year. The average cost of a clinic is 35,000 pesos. They do anywhere from 150 to 200 animals in their 3 days that they're doing the clinics.
And they could probably do 1,000. It's still not enough.
Exactly. Our second charity is the Battered Women's Shelter in Nayarit. They have a house in Nayarit. I am not allowed to expose the location of it.
And we don't want to. It's,
no.
It's got to be very secure and private.
Exactly. And they house anywhere between 5 and 10 families at a time. The children are there with the mothers. They also are, I don't want to call it rehabilitation, but they do occupational training. So they teach them how to sew. They teach them restaurants English so they can become a waitress or a cook. And so when they leave the shelter, they have a place to go and they have an occupation.
And they teach a little bit of financial responsibility.
Exactly.
Like all 800,000 federal employees need to learn. I mean, how can you not miss one paycheck and not have any money? You got to plan 3 to 4 months in advance.
Well, that's talking to a starving artist here, so.
That's what I was always told. I had 6 months of living expenses in the bank at all times, and if I didn't have 6 months in, then I'd quit living.
Good for you. That's all I can say.
It's like I went to the doctor the other day, and he told me I had 3 weeks to live, and I said, well, I owed him $10,000. I said, well, I don't have $10,000. It took me 6 months to get that kind of money. He goes, okay, you got 6 months to live.
I love it.
Well, this is kind of a really, really fun event. You have artists coming from all over the world. Do they have to submit some type of drawing or design before to kind of have it approved? Or is there a theme of what all the different art is this year, the chalk art?
That's a great question. There is a theme. The theme to our chalk event is opening doors to the world, opening hearts, minds, and doors to the world. The artist must have a door in their drawing. And we thought this was great because a lot of the chalk artists do three-dimensional pieces. So mm-hmm. having a door really lends itself to three-dimensional thought. We also this year for the first time have what we're calling a freestyle division. The freestyle division will be any artist that has not competed in a chalk art contest per se as a contestant. A lot of these beginners, they get intimidated by the pros, and they just won't sign up. So we are, it's open, there's no theme, they can draw whatever they want, whatever they think their best rendering is, but there is a 5,000 peso prize for freestylers. One nice participant that we have in the event is Audrey Rocio. She is from Guadalajara. Of course, the term Modinari comes from Italy. It's an Italian word. Well, they have a Modinari festival for the masters, and it is a competition. And in 2018, she won the Modinari Award in Italy.
In Italy. And she's going to be here this year.
Yes, she will be here this year participating. So she literally is a Modinari master.
Well, please, once again, give us the dates, the times, and any contact information if somebody needs to go on web and look at this or has questions or something like that, if you don't mind. We just have a couple minutes, if you don't mind wrapping it up.
The event is February 5th, 6th, and 7th. On the 7th, it will culminate late in the evening around 9 o'clock during the Bucerius Art Walk, where the awards will be announced and our 10,000 peso raffle that we will have also. The artist will be drawing every day between 8 and 6 o'clock. Live music starts at 1 o'clock every afternoon. And all the vendors and the food items on Tuesday and Wednesday will be setting up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. For any more information, it is thebucerius.streetfestival@gmail.com.
All right. And anything else in closing?
We are still looking for participants. If you would like to come and participate in the Taste of Bucerius or participate in the Bucerius Business Day, please contact us.
And once again, please give out the charities where the funds are going to.
Paws and Claws Free Spay and Neuter Clinics and the Nyeri Battered Women's Shelter.
Now, we mentioned just a minute ago the organization, the charitable organizations, the Spayed and Neuter.
Paws and Claws.
Paws and Claws. I think I need to come and get my paws and claws neutered a little bit. And the Women Battered Shelter.
Correct.
Of Bucerius.
Correct.
Now, these events, all these great, great charity events that are taking place here in the Bay of Banderas, there's always sponsors. Mm-hmm. There's always people that really, really help. Can you kind of talk about the people that help? Because these things need funding. They need people behind them. And I know that this event has a lot of great sponsors also.
I'm so glad you asked this question, Michael. We are giving a stipend to every artist, and we are paying for all the musicians. We also are paying for all the traveling. Our travel budget is over 20,000 pesos. So thanks to our great sponsors, such as the Stevenson family, a group called Hearts for Arts in Bucerias, Victoria Pratt at Timothy Real Estate Group, Refugio del Mar, El Divino, and the Riviera Nayarit. They have all donated generously to help make this event happen.
Now, you mentioned that the art, chalk art, will be in front on Lázaro Cárdenas. You know, he's a former president of Mexico.
Yes.
I learned that. Now, that's right in front of your shop, right?
Right. We refer to it as a gallery, my
Okay. Mind. Tell us a little bit about your gallery, and you mentioned that you do all kinds of mosaic tile work. Where are you at? Because I know there's a lot of different things. I know there's real estate, restaurants, all that. Just kind of tell us where you're at and all of that, okay?
My gallery, which is called A Broken Art, is located on 62 Lázaro Cárdenas, right next door to Timothy Real Estate, near Panino's and Mark's Restaurant.
Well, so Carl right Timothy's a good friend of mine. He's a great real estate guy.
We do workshops. We offer workshops for beginners, intermediate, and private clinics also here. So the space is usually filled with a lot of students learning how to do some fun mosaics.
Okay. And you're not a painter or anything like that. You're basically a mosaic.
Correct.
But you have to be a good drawer or artist to kind of draw the figure.
Absolutely. What you're drawing down, the sketch that you draw down that you're going to do your mosaic on, that's where the word cartoon came from. In Latin, in the ancient days when they did mosaics, they would draw the cartoon and then put the mosaic on top of that.
You know, when I was in high school, we had these overhead projectors.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually take a photograph of something. It was a copy back then, mm-hmm. a Xerox. And then you'd run, instead of paper, you'd run like plastic in there, and it'd be clear. And then you put that on the overhead, and that project on the wall, and then you could draw it.
Mm-hmm. I do that a lot for my religious pieces, but my icon pieces that have to look exact. For example, the Virgin of Guadalupe that I'm working on, I use an overhead projector to put that on the substrate.
She's a pretty famous gal here in Mexico, isn't she?
Well, I started the Boosterias Art Walk this is our 12th year. So I started the Boosterias Art Walk 12 years ago. And every Thursday we have anywhere from 300 to 500 people walking up and down the streets of Boosterias.
Tell us a little bit about that, please.
The Boosterias Art Walk takes place every Thursday during high season. So it will start the first Thursday in November until Holy Thursday, the Thursday before Easter in April. And it is from 7 to 9. We have about 17 galleries to look at, wonderful restaurants to come and eat, spend the evening here. At my little plaza here, we have a tequila tasting. Other artist galleries, they offer wine, appetizers. It's just a nice, fun evening, especially if you want to get to know Boosterias. The streets are very well lit. There's no cobblestones. The curbs are low. So it's very, very pedestrian friendly.
Well, I know Boosterias. I was up here just a couple weeks ago. They have a big, big market on Wednesdays right in the Chesuawi parking lot. And I thought at one time I saw an oyster festival up here in Boosterias. Is that true?
Every April, yes. And it's amazing. They give away, there's no charge, over 10,000 oysters in April.
I can eat 5,000 of those. I love oysters.
It's quite an event. And I'm surprised they don't do very much advertising. You see maybe one banner up, but it's all the nationals know about it. And the beach is packed. It's absolutely packed, and it's a great event.
Well, Boosterias is a really small community, but it's grown an awful lot. When I say small, I'm compared to Puerto Vallarta. It's a great, great place. There's a lot of arts up here in Boosterias. There's a lot of different types of medical people.
Mm-hmm. Brand new hospital. CFU.
Brand new hospital. I know Dr. Max Craig, who used to be the president of the University of Guadalajara, Cocosta, here cooks. His office and hospital is up there. So I was there for his grand opening just a couple weeks ago. And Boosterias is a really great community, and there's a lot of really, really fun things to do there. I know you all just finished up your big festival at the church, the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a church, I guess. It's not a cathedral.
No.
Not there.
Our Lady of Peace. So it was the festival of Our Lady of Peace.
And that just wrapped up. Any other big events besides the Boosterias Street Festival that people can be looking forward to in the near future in Boosterias?
Well, they do have the Rhythm and Ribs, which is quite a big event. That will be at the end of February here, and that benefits the orphanage in town.
Okay.
They call it Rhythm and Ribs because they will have, when it very, very first started, which has got to be 15 years ago now, they had a lot of bands and one restaurant that would serve ribs. that people stand around the corner for 2 hours and mow your grandmother down to get through those ribs. So that's quite an event also.
Are they pork ribs or beef ribs?
I think they're big beef ribs. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll be up here for that because I like barbecue. Well, thank you very much for taking your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a break right now, but we'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a second. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show, everybody. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. Today I am very, very fortunate to have what I call one of the icons of real estate here in the Bay of Banderas area, Mr. Carl Timothy. Mr. Timothy, thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
I saw in one of the papers about a very exciting event taking place here in just a couple of weeks, or a week I guess or so, the Puerto Vallarta or Bay of Banderas Real Estate Fair. And I wanted to find out all the details on that so you can tell all the listening audience. But first, if you don't mind, do you mind if I call you Carl?
No, that's fine.
Sure. Can you give us a short bio, kind of how you started career down here, where you're from originally, and a little bit of that?
Sure, of course.
Thank you.
I started my real estate career in Park City, Utah, at the ski resort. And from there, moved to Los Angeles, and I helped open up the John Arrow office in the Pacific Design Center in West Hollywood for the John Arrow company. And then later I moved to Beverly Hills with Prudential Realty and was enjoying the experience and things were going quite well for me. But it was the atmosphere was not something that was, I don't know. It's difficult to go to work and if you're not enjoying your day. So I fell in love with Puerto Vallarta and took the jump and moved down here. And I've been here for 19 years now.
Just saying, if you'd have stayed a little long, you might have your own reality TV show. Selling exactly. Multi-million dollar properties in Malibu.
Actually, we have filmed 19 episodes of House Hunters International.
I understand. Yeah. You just finished up another one, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Actually, we're out there filming right now today.
Oh, well, congratulations on that. If you ever need a stand-in, I'm kind of like a movie extra. I try and squeeze in wherever I can. So I could be one of the guys mowing the yard or something. Well, so you've been down here 19 years, and you started a real estate company when you first came, or did you go ahead and work for somebody else for a while?
I worked for somebody else for a while. When I came down here, the invitation was to come down and be a partner in a company, and that was that's how I moved down here. And we had one of the partners passed away, and so I opened up my own company. And we've been in operation since 2010. And according to MLS statistics, the company has been number one since 2011.
Well, that's a great accomplishment. And I guess that's one of the main reasons you're the vice president of the Puerto Vallarta Board of Realtors.
Yeah, well, so probably.
You work hard and you get to move up the ladder a little bit. That's probably a lot more work than you wanted.
It is a lot of work, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate that. Before we go much further, would you mind giving out your contact information? If someone that's listening today needs to know something about real estate, when someone's kind like yourself and comes on the show, I like to give you all the opportunity to give out your information. So if there's something today we talk about, they can contact you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I would love to do that. TimothyRealEstateGroup.com is the website. So we've got most of the information that you could need on there. The website also has two options of being able to search for properties. You can search in the AMPI MLS system for all of the properties in the Bay, or you can search our properties that we have online on the website. There's also information there, facts and things like that, questions that people often ask us. We've got some answers for that on the website as well. And the main office here is located in the Romantic Zone, just as you come over the bridge into the Romantic Zone.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that website. Is that kind of like MultiList? I'm kind of more familiar with MultiList in the States.
Yeah, but we have it is a multi-listing service. There are two MLS systems here in town. There's the MultiList, and there's the AMPI Vallarta Nayarit MLS system. And that's where the AMPI professional agents are all listing their properties.
Well, you mentioned professional agents. I want to talk a little bit more about that a little later on. But first I want to, if you don't mind, we have a very major event coming up. I'm calling it the Port of Vallarta Real Estate Fair 2019. And can you talk a little bit about this event that's coming up and give the dates out and the times and just the general information, please?
Sure. We're really excited this year because we've opened up the Vallarta Real Estate Fair to all of the AMPI agents this year. This is going to be the seventh year that we've held the event. And it's been a super popular event for, it just keeps growing. And so we're really excited to have like twice the participation this year. It's going to be on Saturday, February 16th from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've got some really incredible panel of a great panel of speakers this year. At 10:30 in the morning, we're going to have a U.S. accountant, a Canadian accountant, a Mexican accountant, and a representative from Monex Bank who is going to talk about investment opportunities here for us foreigners. And the information they're going to help us with, changes in taxes, how do I pay taxes, do I have to pay taxes here, what happens if I'm renting a property, am I supposed to report that, what are the guidelines for all of that, and it's just a, it's always a great panel discussion.
Well, that's great that you have that, where people can go back and forth with the experts and get the real information and not what somebody else tells them, because we get a lot of that down here.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation that goes around.
Now, where exactly is the event going to be held?
The event's going to be held on the corner of Aquiles Cerdán and Ignacio L. Vallarta.
Okay.
And so it's easy to find.
I know where Costco is, and I kind of use Costco as like Times Square in New York City.
Okay.
Because everybody that's an expat knows where Costco is.
Yes.
I had one lady say, well, you need to use Walmart, because I know where the Walmart are. I said, well, there's three of those. And I actually had one guy say, well, where is it from Oxo? We were talking about the Bibliotecas Magnus. I said, well, there's 2,000 Oxos in the Bay of Banderas. Which one are you talking about? Okay. And again, can you give the time, please? It's the 16th.
It's the Saturday, the 16th of February, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. And it's free?
It's free. It's
open to the public?
Free. Open to the public. The exhibitors there, the exhibitors we have this year are really a great group of people. We've got veterinary services. We've got air conditioning people, solar panel people.
That's fabulous.
Mortgage brokers, just all sorts of information available. Healthcare.
So it's kind of like medical matters, but instead of everything medical, it's everything real estate.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'd be sure to come to that, because I have some questions, and I'm sure a lot more of my listening audience will be emailing me questions after this conversation, and after that I'm going to send them to you.
Okay, no problem. That's great.
So that's great. Again, it's the 7th annual Port of Vallarta Real Estate Fair. It's going to be on Saturday the 16th, and I think everybody needs to go to it.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be entertainment, and the information that you get here is, you know, it's going to. Capital gains tax seems to be an issue for people if they, you know, that's lots of misinformation, things like that, that you can kind of get a grasp on so you can do your planning.
Well, I was talking to my next door neighbor who's a Canadian who's owned a house here for about 9 or 10 years, and he's thinking about going on to something else's life, and he said, well, I can't sell my house because of capital gains tax. So he had a lot of questions for me to ask you. I'm just going to say, go to the fair and learn it yourself.
Exactly. That's the best way to do it, to hear from the professionals.
That's exactly right. Well, that's a great opportunity for everybody to go, and I'm really, really excited that y'all are having this event. I just thought I might open it up. Is there anything else you will say about the real estate fair?
Just we hope to see you here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask a couple questions. How is the real estate market here in Port of Vallarta? I know it's really, really growing. You see a lot of construction, not only in the big resorts, but a lot of condos, a lot of private houses, and of course, to build all this, you need a lot more workers. So you have to build homes, or they have to have places to stay. And
exactly.
So I know it's been growing over the last couple of years, but with, you know, things change.
Right.
I know down in 08, the market really, really went down for several years, but I think it's kind of upwards trend. That's my opinion. You're the expert. Please tell us what's going on with it.
The market has been, the 2018 market was a stellar year for us. It was a great year here in the Bay. I have a few statistics. I don't want to bore anybody, but...
I want you to bore them if you don't want. But before that, we're going to take a short little break. Okay. My producers tell me we need to take a break, and we're going to do that. And we'll be right back with Carl Timothy of the Timothy Real Estate Group. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake-Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show. We're going to continue our conversation with Carl Timothy, the Vice President of the Viarta Real Estate Association. Is that the proper title?
Yeah, MP Realtor Association.
Right before we left, he had mentioned that 2018 was a stellar year. I'm going to let you go ahead and take off and say the rest of what you were going to say.
Okay, great. Well, I've got a few statistics that we sent out. In the MP Association, we've sent out a survey once a recorded sale gets reported in the system to the agents, just to get a little bit of feedback about who our buyers are, where they're coming from, that kind of thing. And so we've got some interesting information about that. Also from the MLS system, it was really exciting for me to see that for condominium sales here, and I'm talking about between 2017 and 2018, the percentage of difference. In 2018, sales were up 232% over 2017.
232%.
Mm-hmm.
And 17 was a good year.
It was a good year. In 2018, sales volume, the volume of sales, was up 249% over 2017.
Wow.
Average sales price is up for condominiums. I'm talking about condominiums. Is up 5%. And the difference between an asking price and the real sales price has dropped by 2%.
Okay.
So the average discounted price at this point for condominiums off of an asking price is about 6%. And for homes, it looks pretty similar. The 2008 number of sales is up by 223% over 2017. Sales volume is up by 234%. These numbers in 200, over 200, is amazing for us. We haven't seen this in a very long time. The sales volume is up 234% over 2017. 2018 average sales prices are up by 3% over 2017. And the difference between the asking price and the real sales price on homes remained the same. So there wasn't a change in that. The strongest part of the market is the $200,000 and under range. That's the biggest part of the market. It was 40% of the market this last year. And the largest age group, the buyer's age group, is really the largest group, is between 55 years old and 64 years old. And the second largest group is the 45 to 54 age group. So that's kind of where the basic age group is for the AMPI membership.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because it's kind of the tail end. I'm 64, almost 65, the tail end of the baby boomers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a lot of them have done, extremely well. They're retiring. They're tired of living in the United States and wanting to come down here for the beautiful weather and all the cost of living. You can buy so much more here. I think you can buy more here than you can and from where I was from, Oklahoma or Texas. But if you get to the East or West Coast, it's like, Katie bar the door. If you're in California, if you're in Washington, Seattle, New York, the East Coast, you get two or three times for your money here what you could there.
Exactly. Plus the quality of life here.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. It's just a super lifestyle.
But you've been here a while. I've only been here 5 years. It's getting almost too busy. I mean, with the infrastructure.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We have a lot of growth. There's a lot of demand. A lot of people want to be here.
That's another whole show, though.
That is. We can talk about that another time.
Well, I appreciate you giving the under 200,000, 40% of the market. Is that mainly condos?
Yes.
Or are those older homes?
Mm-hmm. Condominiums are the biggest part of the market.
Okay, and we've had a huge boom in building, especially here in the Old Town area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pro and cons. I've heard both good and bad about that from my listeners, but that's another show also. U.S. citizens and Canadians, and we're having more Europeans come. Do you know what like percentage of the market goes to those groups?
The U.S. citizens that are living abroad that have purchased in the market here are 38%. 38% of the AMPI buyers are U.S. citizens that are living abroad. And we've got 8% of the market, U.S. citizens who are purchasing again. That means they're selling and then repurchasing another property here. There's 8% of that are U.S. citizens that are in the market. So, you know, we've got about 46% of the U.S. citizens are driving the market right now. And Canadians living abroad, there were 14%. They were 14% of the market. And Canadians living in Mexico, they were an additional 5%. So about 19% of the market for the AMPI agents are Canadian. And the balance, the other 31%, are Mexican market. You know, Mexicans have a little bit of an advantage here. We've got more Mexicans investing here in Vallarta right now because they can protect their dollars here. Our market is dollars. Mm-hmm. And so if you buy a property here, the price is going to be in U.S. dollars more often than not when you're working with the AMPI Realtor Group. And that means that you can invest your dollars in real estate and let those dollars grow in this kind of a market. So we've had a lot more investment from Mexicans in properties just as investments.
Well, you know, I know in my neighborhood, I've seen four or five families from Guadalajara come over or other parts of Mexico buy homes. Two or three brothers or two or three sisters together. They buy a home and then they all kind of use it as a second or third home to get away from Guadalajara, Mexico City, or wherever it might be. Mm-hmm. And they're not there all the time. That's a question I had. The percentages of homes out here, what percentage are lived in full-time? And which ones are like vacation homes where the Canadians come down for 4 or 5 months, the snowbirds, or the Americans, or maybe hot weekenders for Easter and Christmas for the Mexican families that come over? Is there any way to know that?
I've never heard that. I would love to know those numbers, though. That would be a really interesting thing. I know, you know, it just depends. In this area, I think there's probably, you know, a 75% decrease in permanent residents, you know, or people that are using their properties here.
Yeah. You know, a lot of renting goes on.
It doesn't mean that they're not rented.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let me ask you another question. A friend of mine asked me, he's renting a home right now, mm-hmm. but he's wanting to buy. And he noticed that he was told that the percentage rate, 15-16%. And that's kind of what the rate for a mortgage loan was back in the States, back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah, I had one at 14%. Yeah.
I got a hell of a deal on a government bond at 11.95 in 1978.
Uh-huh.
My friends were paying 16-17%, but I was American Indian. So American Indian, I got a discount from the government, but it was only 11.95. It was 12%, basically.
Yeah.
I bought my last home in Texas about, 12 years ago, and I think I had 2.5% interest or something like that. I mean, it was ridiculously low. Yeah. And that makes a huge difference in what you're paying per month.
It does.
What can an American or Canadian, if they want to buy a house here or a condo, can they finance it in the States? Like go to whatever, Wells Fargo, Chase, whoever, borrow the money there and come down and buy the property here with cash?
The only way you could do that is if you wanted to take out a second mortgage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you own a home there, you can take a mortgage credit here and take that money and buy it cash.
Since the guarantee is going to be the property and the property is located in Mexico, it would have to be a second mortgage on a home or a property.
There's no international banks that have services in both countries?
No.
Like Social
Bank? Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Now, you have here the percentage of buyers that buy with cash, use Mexican bank financing. Can you kind of go over those details, please?
Yeah. In last year, 73% of the buyers in 2018 paid cash for their properties. In other words, at closing, they just paid the full amount.
They sold their house in Los Angeles and decided to come out here and buy another.
Whatever they did, yeah. They took their whatever they were saving up and they purchased, they paid 100% for the property. 10% used a local Mexican bank financing, and that is getting more popular. I've seen that getting much more popular actually here. You can get bank loans from a number of companies now. And there are some good mortgage brokers here in town as well now. So, and they will be at the fair on the 16th. So if you want, you were interested in talking to somebody about what the exact rates would be. More often than not, the interest rates for mortgages here in Mexico with Mexican banks are about 8-9%. Depending on the package that you
get. So it's a lot lower than what my friend was told.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, 8 or 9%. Yeah. Okay.
And then 13% of the people that purchased last year, the developer carried some kind of financing for them. So that's how the financing went for last year.
You mentioned we have some really, really good brokers here, and a good opportunity for people to get connected to one would be to come to the real estate fair, right?
Exactly. And actually, for the first time in a long time that I've heard of, there are some commercial property loans available now.
Great.
So that you can find out about that at the fair as well.
Let me ask you a question. I think in the States, it used to be about the percent that the real estate agent made was about 6%. 5-6%, usually around 6. If he listed the house and sold it, he got to keep it all. If he listed the house and she sold it, another real estate agent, she kept 3%. So that's about 6%. Is that kind of comparable to what it is down here?
Well, obviously, commission rates are negotiable between the parties.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they can go, you know, they can be a set amount, they can be a percentage, they can be anything. So those are always negotiable with the client. But basic rates here would run between 6-8%. 6% if the property is over $1 million or something like that, a higher end property, or you know, it's all negotiable. It just depends.
Okay.
Usually, when we represent a development, we pay any company or any agents a commission if they bring somebody to one of our new construction projects.
I was going to ask you another question that a viewer asked me to ask you. How can someone reduce their capital gains taxes when they sell a property here in Mexico? If they own a house, they sell it, there's capital gains. Can they reduce that at all?
Yeah, there are a number of different strategies that can be used. But when just as a basic information thing, every person on title can be exempt for up to over 7,000 UDIs. And UDIs is kind of like it's a government figured number that has to do with inflation rates and all that kind of stuff. And an UDI right now would probably, with this 7,000 UDIs, it would probably represent, you could be exempt for $190,000, everybody who's on title.
Okay.
Okay, so if you've got the husband and wife both on title, you're going to be able to get twice that as an exemption. So off the bat, that is what you can qualify for if you have a visa, either a temporary visa or a permanent visa, and if you get a Mexican taxpayer ID number.
Okay.
So you can do that. It's called an RFC. The Mexican taxpayer ID number is called an RFC, and they're not difficult to get. You can get those in a matter of a day or so. Those are two ways you can do it. Also, you know, there are some, I would always suggest to talk to a professional realtor or even set an appointment with the notary's office to see if there are other ways that you can reduce it. You know, if you have made improvements to the property, you can work out solutions for that to be able to reduce your capital gains tax a bit. There are a number of different avenues, and I would just suggest that the best way to do that is to handle this either directly with the notary or come to one of us and talk to us, and we have attorneys here in-house or many of the offices do that can help negotiate that and try to get that minimized as much as possible.
Well, this is a topic like the Social Security, like the income taxes, insurance that I have people on my show. They're pretty complicated, mm-hmm. and everyone is individually different, so we have to come and talk to an expert like yourself. We're going to take another break, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Can you stay over for about another 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Carl Timothy, the Vice President of the Puerto Vallarta Real Estate Group. And we were talking about different things that you can do as far as taxes, capital gains. Do you have anything else you'd like to say on that topic?
Capital gains can be a little bit confusing. So I think it would be great if somebody is interested in selling. Now is actually a really great time to sell a property. The market is healthy, really healthy, and it would be a good time if somebody was interested in doing that. And
okay.
The best thing to do would be to reach out to a professional to get. We always, whenever we take a listing, we always do the capital gains calculation up front before we take the listing, so everybody knows exactly what avenues to take moving forward.
I got a question. In the United States, you have to have a real estate license. I have several friends that been in the real estate business for years. They take a 6-8 month school, maybe a couple times in the evening. If they're a professional doing something else and want to get in the real estate business, they'll take a school. Or some just, can do it in several months. But you have to take classes. You have to be able to take a state test to be able to sell real estate. You have to have a license. Do you have to do that here in Mexico?
Mexico is just now starting with a few states that have a licensing requirement. There are a couple states now. Here in Puerto Vallarta, we've been recently contacted by Jalisco, the state, to help us. They've asked us to kind of help put together some rules and regulations on what that licensing requirement should look like, what the educational process should be for that, and in order to try to get a little bit more professionalism on a statewide and a nationwide, actually, platform. So we have had some meetings about this, and it's a work in process here for Jalisco still. So right now, today, there is no licensing requirement. A taxi driver could...
I think I had one try to sell me a house one time. I needed a ride out there, and the agent didn't make it. It was up by San Pancho or something. The agent didn't make it, and so the taxi driver goes, I can show you that house as long as I get past security.
Yeah, so I don't think that's the safest route to take. So I would.
Well, he wasn't that great of a taxi driver, so I know he wasn't going to be a good real estate person.
All right, but yeah, we are working on trying to get some rules and regulations put together for that, and I see that coming to Jalisco soon, and I think that's going to be spreading throughout the rest of the country a little bit faster.
Well, that's just another main reason that anybody interested in the real estate business, buying or selling, should contact a professional company's real estate group. A couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
For new construction projects, how do you do the sales work on that? Or because you're not really needing a real estate agent to show you homes or this, that, and the other. How are the monies paid to the developer? Can you kind of answer that for us?
Sure. Well, pre-construction developments, just to talk about pre-construction for now, most pre-construction developments, if you're interested in a unit, there's a 30%, 35% deposit up front, and then payments are made with the progress of the construction. A number of the developers are holding these funds in a trust. So when a buyer actually makes his deposit of 30%, he is now a member, he's part of that trust, and those funds, he has something. It's in a trust. He owns part of that pie as he does that. So that's one of the avenues that can be used. And then basically just payments are made with the progress. So when the building gets half up, another payment is due, or sometimes the developer will work out a monthly, a payment every month. So there are a couple different ways to take a look at that.
If you buy a new construction development, or if you're in a new construction development, is there any warranties on the construction?
Yes, there are. There's a 12-month warranty on new construction. So just as a caveat for that, if the developer happened to buy the dishwashers too soon, then the warranties on those dishwashers are going to run out. So, but there is, and once the property gets delivered on all the construction, the warranties are going to be in effect for 12 months. And so, obviously, sometimes people take possession a little bit early, and their 12 months is going to start as soon as they take possession. But that's how we work here. So it's nice. At least you know for the first 12 months, anything that is not working is going to be repaired.
Well, there's some great new projects going on. Not only the big, I mean, you look at some of the big development corporations like Vedanta. I mean, what they're building out there is just, it's mind-boggling.
It is.
And I've tried to get them on my radio show numerous times over the last 4 years, and they're kind of reluctant. There's a lot of reasons for that. But there's some other big, big developers here that are coming in. I know the marina area. I've had a lot of concerns from my listeners about the marina areas getting overdeveloped. Same thing with a lot of the seniors that have lived here in the old town for many, many years. They think, well, I had a view, but I don't need more than a 10-story building in front of me. But that's growth.
It is.
Yes. It's just unfortunate, but that's growth. We're having an awful lot of that for so many reasons. So there's really not much you can do about that.
There isn't. Mexico is growing. You know, more than half of the country is 25 years or older. I mean, younger.
Younger.
So there's a lot of growth going on in Mexico.
Well, we are living on the fun side of the wall.
Yes, we are.
As everybody says.
Yeah.
But that's it.
We are.
And if someone's an older person, they've had their house for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, like some of our SWAM students.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have a great program for senior citizens education. Anybody over 60 can come get free education at the university, 30 different classes. And a lot of the ones are the ones I've been hearing out. They've lived in the older part of Puerto Vallarta for years, and they're saying, well, this, that, and the other, you know, they're blocking up the streets or doing this construction. But they have a great opportunity to sell that property if they've owned for 40 or 50 years and make quite a bit of money.
Yes, probably.
And move to somewhere, you know, the neighborhoods, the barrios.
Yes, if you wanted to do that, would be an option. Yeah.
So there are some great opportunities for not just people coming in and buying, but also people who've been living here for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I own my property in a trust, does it depreciate like a lease property might? Or,
you know, often, you know, I think this is a misconception, and I get asked this all the time. People think that if your property is held in a trust and in a bank trust, that it's going to depreciate because for a contract to be valid, a contract needs to have an ending date. And so the trust, if you open up a trust right now, it's going to be an automatic 50-year contract unless you decide you want it for a less time. You own your property. It doesn't matter if your trust expires, you just renew it, or you can change your trust bank to another bank or whatever. But so the fact that you have 25 years left on your trust doesn't mean that your property is depreciated. Your property has remained the same and hopefully had a great increase or some healthy growth throughout the year. So that is a misnomer that many people think it happens here because the property is held in a trust.
Well, I've asked you a lot of questions. You've given out a ton of information. I really, really am appreciated. Anything else in closing? Because I've taken up a lot of your time, and I really appreciate it.
I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much. Really, really, really do. I just hope that everybody will be able to participate. Come and see us at the Real Estate Fair. There's going to be some fun information there, or some important information, and there's going to be some fun entertainment. So hope to see everybody there. That's on February 16th. From 9 to 2 in the afternoon, the Vallarta Real Estate Fair.
And where exactly is it again?
On the corner of Achilles Cerdán and Ignacio L. Vallarta, right here and just behind Molino de Agua.
Okay, if you're an old guy like me and you don't know any of the names of any street except Federal 200, is there a landmark?
This side
of the Quali River, that side of the Jamaica River,
at the Quali River as you come into town,
the bottom of the bridge, kind of where your office is,
exactly,
and Intercam Bank.
Yes,
I got to give a shout out.
Intercam Bank.
I got to give a shout out to my good friend Jason Lavender.
There you go.
He's president of the bank, and he's been on the show a lot of times.
Has he? Yeah, he's a good guy.
Before we leave, I want to say one thing. I go to a lot of events here in the Bay of Banderas. I mean, everything. My favorite one so far in 4 years is going to have a cocktail party with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
That would be fun.
That was a fun evening. and then they had a bikini fashion show. So, yeah. You know, if somebody can beat that, let me know. Invite me. I'll be there. But I see your name, the company's name, Timothy Real Estate Group, all over for charitable stuff. You guys give back to the community. You guys really want to help out, and that's important to be what you do to the area. So thank you very, very much for giving back to the community, and you help in so many ways.
Thank you.
That people just need to know that you aren't just making money. You're giving back. You're paying back the community. You're helping with all the different projects that need to be done.
Thank you so much.
And you do that, and you're a very, very great corporate sponsor for a lot of events. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. It really is.
Mr. Timothy, Carl Timothy, president of Timothy Real Estate Group. I want to say thank you again for taking time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. If something comes up, a major event, there'll be another one next year, the 8th annual. So
yes,
I'll have you back on again then.
Yeah.
But between now and then, if there's a major change, if something comes up, let me know, and I'd love to have you back on the show.
Great. I'd love to.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Once again, I want to thank you very much for listening in this morning. I have the committee here today of the Fiesta Amor Mexicano. It's a very, very special event that's coming up on Thursday, February 14th, 2019, from 12 to 5 p.m., and we're going to learn all about it today. So, first of all, thank you very much for taking your time to being on the radio show.
Hi, Hawkson. I'm the actual president of Lucerias de Seriedad, which is a group that we are raising funds to build an assisted living for needy Mexican seniors, primarily. We have come from Canada. My background is in insurance, although I was 28 years on a board of assisted livings in Canada. So that's come a real worker for getting this happening. So,
well, thank you. Appreciate your time. Ma'am?
My name's Jean Lindsay, and I'm secretary for the board. I guess I got involved maybe 5 years ago, maybe more, volunteering in the markets. The first one was in La Cruz, working at the markets, and expanded my role in some computer assistant stuff and website work. When I was in Canada, we've been down here for 8 years. We built a home. I was in medical purchasing, and I just take part in what needs to be done. I just do.
Carlos? Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Well, I'm Carlos Grimaldi, and I come from Hermosillo, Sonora, up north, and I came here to reside and to retire, which I have done none of it. But I'm here. And I run into these two folks, and they had a great project that is ambition and helping the community and those that are in the short end of it. So I volunteer to help. With my support and also with my skill construction abilities to build their asylum and do something good for the community.
And we appreciate that. Jim?
Jim Moxon, and I'm on the committee as one of the executives with, and I'm an expat on this project. And it's taken time, but oh boy, such a reward. The appreciation on the fears that we deal with. And two that you introduced, one of the few that we're having this year, we're starting to get Corp to complete the construction of this building. We'll be somewhere around 6 months after we start the construction.
First time you've had a fundraiser for this project, or have you had others in the past?
Well, we've had many others in the past, and every year we try to have two or three. And we also have markets. So we work the La Cruz Market and the Bucerias Wednesday Market. We have a table of crafts that are made by seniors, and we're out there selling donations.
This Amor Mexicana is going to be, as I mentioned, February 14th, 2019. Tell me where it's going to be. Tell me how much it costs. Tell me what the event is, if you don't mind, please.
Well, it's a real fun event. People can swim, eat. There'll be music, and it's at Los Arroyos Verdes, which is being hosted by Guadalupe Deep. The cost will be 450 pesos, which includes food and a silent auction. And we're having a gentleman there who does charcoal portraits, which should be a lot of fun for people to do.
And where again is it?
Los Arroyos Verdes.
Okay, and where is that?
It's up Estaciones.
Old road.
The old road.
The old road to.
Okay, because the only thing I know where, Costco is.
No.
I used to say I know where Walmart is, or I used to know where Chihuahua is, but there's three or four of those.
Yeah.
And then one day I had a lady on the show, she says, I said, where are your events going to be? She said, it's right down from OXXO.
Oh, okay.
I said, oh, okay, which one? We have 1,100 OXXOs in the Bay of Banderas. Which one? She goes, well, you know the one. Okay. Big building, correct?
Correct.
And what's the purpose or reason for this building?
Well, the reason is to house needy Mexican seniors, to enable them to have a more comfortable life, to live in a, what we consider will be a very beautiful place. We're believing in what in Canada is called the EDOM concept. It has people being able to do items. Like we will have sewing classes. We have a vegetable garden, which is raised vegetable garden, so people can run wheelchairs through or just walk through and do weeding. We believe in the fact that that busy people are happy people. Somebody said to us, people do not like to get up in the morning because they're depressed. And I said, no, they're depressed because they're not getting up in the morning. They need to get up and socialize. This is very important, especially to socialize with people around your own age.
Sure, and we have seen that become such a reality with the SWAM program, our Senior Citizens Education Program. We start off with 42 students the first semester. We have over 450 now. And we've actually had a couple of men and a couple of women that were, they knew each other 25 years ago because they worked here or there or the other. They were neighbors or this, that, and the other. But they both lost their spouses. And through the SWAM program, they hooked back up and now they're married. So we've had some you know, our youngest student's right at 60. We have a lady that's 92. And they come and take classes almost every day. It's a community. They raise their kids. They raise their grandkids. They're sitting at home doing nothing every day, being depressed, being, and slowly passing away because they just had no reason to live. Now they come to the campus. They take classes. It's just an amazing program. So we have to thank Dr. Cortez for that. Now, the people that are going to be coming here, will they be living? Is it like a nursing home that they'll be living at this center?
They will be living.
Okay.
They'll be, when they wish to leave for a visit, their relative or whoever is responsible will have to sign them out at the facility and give us an idea of when they'll be back. There's sort of no... We had one gentleman at one time said, well, I'd love to do that, but I want to go out dancing on Friday nights. And we said, I don't think...
You're the dancing at your facility.
That's right.
You know, why not?
Dance. We have people who want to sing, people who want to go out and play instruments. So there'll be pretty basic entertainment for them.
Where's the center going to be built?
Say that again.
Where's the home going to be at? Where's it physically going to be located?
Oh, it's going to be located side of the road between San Jose and San Vicente.
Okay.
Right at the head of the district of the Bahía Banderas facilities.
Okay. Now, the general public and everybody can help by coming to this event. And you're going to have, is it going to be food, is it going to be dancing, going to be, what all is the event going to take, or what all is going to be at the event?
Well, we're going to have some vendors who will be selling some of their items and clothing, some of the native jewelry. They'll be having music, as we said, and swimming, great food.
Okay. And yeah, there's always food and music at anything.
Yeah, there's always
this
food.
Side of the wall.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy about. How else can the general population be involved. Carlos, you mentioned that you have a history of construction skills. And to build this building, you need, of course, plumbers, concrete people. You need masonry people. You need electricians. How can the general public, say I was a, you know, owned electric company and did all kinds of stuff in Houston for many years, how can I help if I just want to volunteer my time and come help y'all? Do you need people like that?
Well, we do need people, volunteers, because there are a little bit of a odd task here and there to do in a job site where we can have them and have them support our cause without the risk or liability that they may get injured.
Mm-hmm.
We will find them areas where they can work safely and would not be an obstruction. On the contrary, it would be an added couple hands, though.
Okay.
Also, any material and any products that they can bring over, as maybe toilets that you replaced, that could be useful to us. Doorknobs, kitchens, bring may have, it's always useful to us. And we'll make certain, we'll cut the cost so we can finish soon and have it up and running.
Well, I know there's a lot of big, big resorts. If you haven't noticed, there's a big body of water over here to the right. And there's a lot of big hotels and resorts up and down with beaches and stuff. Well, I know if these resorts replace their furniture, their bedding, their TVs, all their carpeting and stuff like that every 2 or 3 years. And if any of them are listening today, would you like some donation maybe, you know, of some of your stuff that you're going to, you know, get rid of some other way?
Love to.
I'm sure you all are probably some type of tax. Do you have a tax certificate where people donate money or donate something like that, they can write it off on their taxes?
Yes, we do.
Now, I don't know the Canadian system, but I know the United States tax system and code has completely changed this year, and they're doing away with most deductions, which I think is a good thing. But these big corporations down here, they have to do something, and
that's
and
right.
I'm just trying to get you all some free beds or free toilets or free TVs or whatever. That's kind of my way of gouging those big corporations to pay back the community.
Yeah. What really impressed me most, we had a young gentleman who is Mexican, and he was quite intrigued with what we're doing. So he has offered to come in and do decorative tile.
Oh, great.
And bring over some equipment that he has. And it was, to me, it was really a wonderful thing because to see somebody, young Mexican, become involved.
Well, it's important. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to do so. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the event and then close out with any information you'd like to give about the history, anything else, okay? Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on the University of Guadalajara Radio 104.3. We're going to continue our conversation with the committee for this very, very special event, Fiesta Amor Mexicana, or Mexican. And right before we left, we were talking a little bit about some of the tax benefits. Carlos, would you explain a bit more about that? Because I know, like I said, the United States government's done away with most all the tax deductions. But Mexican people that may be donating things, you all are working to be able to get, well, you talk about it a little bit. You're more the expert.
Okay, a few months ago, one of the things that we got engaged on it with Marilyn and with Jim, we went to see our accountants seeking what we call the approval of our IRS Mexican system to issue receipts that declare legal donations for tax deductions within corporations, within individuals, and also applicable also for international funding. So whatever you want to do as a donation and you want to write it off from your books or from your tax-exempt issues, we'll be prepared and ready to do that. And we think that would open up an avenue where we can have sufficient funds to finalize the construction and to have funds for operating of our asylum.
So the construction's already begun.
Yes.
And you're midway through, or how close are you?
We just got started, and we did the ceremony of the breaking ground a few weeks ago, and we are in the process to have the final written contract where we guarantee the usage of the soil for many years to come. Once we get that one, though, we'll hit grounds again day after.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the facility. You said it's going to be a more or less retirement home for senior citizens. Is it going to be only for Mexican senior citizens, or is it going to be for, say, you're an expat and you're down here and you don't have anybody else to take care of you?
That's a good question, because we will have 34 beds, we have 17 rooms, double occupancy, with a washroom in every room, which we feel is quite important.
The bathroom, restroom, yeah, and everything. So that is important.
And we anticipate we will need to have approximately 8 to 10 expats a fee for staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And that should cover our operating budget, because we don't want to run short on operating funds. And as Carlos said, we don't want to have to depend upon the Mexican government to step in, because we want a volunteer basis.
And that's a very, that brings up a question I think that the listening audience needs to know. Once this facility is up and running, who is going to be managing the facility? Is it going to be turned over to the government, or is it going to be a private corporation? You said you're going to have some of the rooms will be paid for by people that need to have a nursing home, and the others are for free. The people that are really destitute and need somewhere to go because they don't have family or anybody else to take care of them. So who's going to be running the day-to-day operations?
Well, we'll have an administrator in doing it, but responsible to the board of directors of the Bucerías de Seriedad AC. So this is we don't want to ever turn it over to the government. We want to retain by our society.
And I think that by helping all the people listening today, by helping this organization, I wish you the very best and hope that can be done in the future. Now, you mentioned there's going to be 17 rooms, about 35 or so beds. There's going to be like a general common area to where they can do arts and crafts and, you know, other things in their spare time.
Eating facility.
Sir?
The eating, a dining.
A restaurant. Yeah. Well, not restaurant, but
yeah.
Eating.
Eating.
And the food and all that, that's going to be free and or gratis for all the people.
Right.
Well, this is a very, very needed type of facility here in the Bay of Banderas. I've known some people who've looked somewhere to put their mother or their aunt or somebody like that and just couldn't really find anything that they felt comfortable with. This is going to be for older people, mainly. They may have some medical problems. Will there be any medical staff aboard? Will you have volunteer doctors and nurses and things like that helping?
As a matter of fact, we have one and possibly a second doctor who will be doing it on a volunteer basis. So
that's great.
That is really helpful.
Well, we mentioned earlier in the show that this special event is going to be February 14th, 2019, from 12 noon to 5 p.m. And there's going to be dancing, music, great food. Says right here, it says, spice up your romance with an afternoon of those things, because it is Valentine's Day.
It is.
How can people buy tickets? You mentioned there's some silent auction items that are going to be maybe a raffle, things like that. How can they buy tickets? How can they go online to find out more information about this event, but also about the home itself?
Now, Jean can answer that one better.
I would start off with Googling our website, Bucerías de Seriedad.org, and Tercera Edad actually translated is senior citizen from Spanish to English, so it's kind of a neat stage, is Tercera Edad.
Would you mind spelling that out slowly? Well,
Bucerías, I think everybody will know that, but Tercera.
No, I'm not so sure. I have a hard time with things, so would you just spell it out for me, please?
Sure. Bucerías is BucerIas. And then Tercera is TerceraEdad. Edad is EDAD. And that's .org.
Okay.
You'll get all the information you need about the event, about us, what we do. You'll also be able to find a link to Los Oros Verdes, the resort that's hosting our event. in Busiris. She's fairly easy to get to once you get into Busiris area. And just with the tickets, you can purchase your tickets online through the .org website, but you can also purchase them in person from the market people.
And you have your market at La Cruz, Lumwana, Coxley?
On Sunday.
Okay. Any of the other markets?
And the other one is right in Busiris at the Shadwari grocery store, right at the Decameron turn. Everybody, it's a real landmark. People know it. And there,
and that's every Wednesday from 9 till 3 or whenever Allison Normington decides to shut it down?
Yeah, something like that.
9 to 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was up there a couple of weeks ago talking to Allison about the new location and everything like that. She's a great lady and does an awful lot. So how about phone numbers? If someone wants to call and between 8 a.m. and maybe 6 o'clock p.m., you know, I had one guy say, you gave out my number. I had people call me at 3 and 4 in the morning. I said, well, those were the people that work, you know, till 11 o'clock at night. So,
well, I think probably Jim and Marilyn would be the easiest if you want to... read it out.
It's okay.
Right there.
Jim and Marilyn is 322-100-7544. And their email is J as in John, N as in Nolan, M-O-X-I-N at yahoo.com.
No, dot C-A.
Yahoo.ca.
Us Canucks, you know.
Canadian.
For Canada. Hey. Talk about.
Well, actually, we do work other things in the community right now. And we've done this since about 2014. We've been involved in giving out wheelchairs, walkers, canes, crutches, raised toilet seats, just name it. We've been out giving them out to needy people.
Clothing,
bedding, linens.
Just a note too about the clothing. Often people bring their shorts and t-shirts that they would like to donate, but as a senior, they often are chilly. So it's nice to have fleece or warmer.
Something warmer, yeah.
They're also very traditional people. The men don't wear t-shirts. You often see a senior Mexican, they wear long formal shirts and long pants. They don't wear shorts and t-shirts as much, so, yeah.
So, if you're out there and you have a lot of clothes in your closet, like I do, that you, for some reason, my clothes have all shrunk. I can't figure that out, because I, you know, those 32, and those 34, and those 36.
Long gone.
And those 38, they shrunk.
It's a dryer.
My wife threw them in the dryer. We're not going to talk about that $400 pure wool sweater I bought in Ireland several years ago. My wife decided to wash and dry that now fits my grandson. If you do have clothing, if you do have old wheelchairs or walkers, crutches, things like that, a lot of times people hurt their leg or they hurt their arm and they have to wear some kind of bandage and they go to the place and they pay $80 for some kind of thing and then 6 months later they're well, thank God, and they don't need that. And instead of selling it at a garage sale, which I don't see much down here for a dollar, donate it to this organization because they will be having someone that will need it sooner or later.
Well, when we donate things, we don't, the last wheelchair we donated, a young Mexican woman said, well, just drop it off where I work. And we said, no, we don't do it that way. We want to see your grandmother. We want to make sure she needs a wheelchair. Maybe she needs a walker. And we want to see where she lives. We want to see that you are in need. And the last lady was absolutely delightful. She had no teeth, but a great big grin, and she was so excited. And I asked her at the end, I said, what difference is this going to make in your life? And she said, I can go to the bathroom and I can shower by myself. And I thought, now that is pretty basic.
People just don't believe and don't understand what a great effect. It's a fundraiser. Yeah, it costs you a couple of pesos to go, but all the money's going to a very, very good cause, and you're going to make these people have so much better life. And we thank you for doing that, because more of that needs to be done down here. In closing, what would you all like to say?
See you in your nicest bikini on February 14th.
You're not going to see me in a bikini. I promise you that. I might wear my coveralls over and help Carlos dig a hole or something.
Hey,
like
Dad, that. That sounds like a plan.
I just got my second PhD, post hole digger. So I can help out on that aspect. I want to say thank you very much for taking your time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show, and I encourage everyone to please contact them and go to the Fiesta Amor Mexicana party. That's what it is, isn't it?
It is. It's one. Yeah.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be February 14th, Valentine's Day, 12 to 5 o'clock. Have a good time, and I hope to see you there.
And spend your money.
Spend your money. Buy some jewelry. Buy whatever you want to buy.
There is an old girl named Jackie the Shadow that she used to sing a song named Put a Little Love in Your Heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful tune.
It really is. We'll play that song right now, okay? We're going to take another break. We'll be back with the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Think of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate.
Well, I want to say thank you very much to all of my guests today. Came here and talked about some great, great things. The senior citizen house that's being built, please be sure to attend their fundraiser on Valentine's Day. There's going to be some really, really special things. They've got 2 one-night stays in Las Vegas. It says LAV. I guess that's Las Vegas, Nevada, valued over $280. It's going to be offered, raffled off. A 4-hour day of sailing on a very special boat that you can have. And there's going to be some other really, really nice silent auction type items, other things you can buy. I want everybody to remember to go to the El Charro, the 8th Annual El Charro Championship that's going on right now. If you like rodeo, it's going on at the Villarta Arena, which is out in the little community of Colorado. It's going to be an awful lot of fun, so be sure to go there. It's an all-day event today and tomorrow. You're going to have a great, great time, so I promise. Go out there and support this great event. Hey, I want to remind you that Medical Matters is February 11th at the Marriott from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock. Also, congratulations to all the Canadian citizens. You all have a new consulate agent here in Puerto Vallarta. I'm going to try and get that person on the radio show this for next week. So if you're the Canadian consulate, I'm going to be over at your office Monday morning or Tuesday looking for you to try and do an interview so you can tell all the Canadians how you're helping them. Also want to remind everybody that Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado, our president, will be giving his State of the University speech this coming Friday at 12 noon here in the beautiful Fuentes Auditorium. And speaking of that beautiful auditorium, Dr. Fuentes, Juan Luis Fuentes himself, will be giving Science Saturday on the 16th, all about marine diversity. He is a world-renowned biologist. We are very, very fortunate to have him here at the university. And so be sure to bring all the kids to the Science Saturday on the 16th. What else is going on? Super Bowl tomorrow. It's going to be the New England Patriots 34, the Los Angeles Rams 28. Take that to the bank. And I also read on the news that Jalisco, the state of, and probably Nayarit. Most of Mexico is doing away with Uber. The Uber drivers just weren't paying the fees like the taxis were or something. I don't know. So they got rid of Uber, and now the taxis have a monopoly again. And that's my commentary for the day. Thank you for listening in to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. I will be back next Saturday at 9 a.m. Please tell your friends to tune in. If you want to contact me, do so at 104.3, wakeupshow@gmail.com, and go to the university website, www.cuc.udg.mx. Jonathan, I'm past my time. Take me out of here. Thanks a lot. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
104.3 FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista.